live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. You're about to watch what we call an extended clip of the Young Turks. And the reality is it's somewhere in the middle. It's a little longer than our YouTube clips, but it's actually shorter than the whole 2-hour show, which you can get if you're a member. You can get it ad-free, and make sure you catch every news story we do that day. You're going to love it as a full show. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Enormous show ahead for you guys. Donald Trump gets clowned by the North Koreans and now apparently realized it. So it's not good news. Look, I was going to say it's good news in that we were right, but that is not good news. Because the bad news is things can deteriorate really quickly. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Michael Cohen does an interview with ABC where he looks like he might flip on Donald Trump. That's fantastic news. And then populist left wing with a gigantic victory in Mexico. How do I not say told you? Okay, and to be fair, not about that particular election, and we'll talk about that soon on the show. But all across the world, I said populist win, whether it's left or right. And if it's populist left, they win huge. And that's exactly what happened in Mexico. So there's actually great news ahead. And so just ton of stuff. So I want to get to it right away, but we're going to start with two really, really important stories. Let's go over here and get started. Okay. Now, Ron Paul put out a terrible tweet that I want to tell you guys about right now. But I want you to understand that in this story, this is not about just Ron Paul or one bad tweet. This is a very, very important story about the right wing overall in this country and portions of the right wing that have gone to crazy places talking about this one particular phrase, and I'm gonna break down what it means to you guys. So first, let me show you the tweet. Ron Paul, of course, ran for president twice under the Republican banner, once under the Libertarian banner, so 3 times overall. And he sent this tweet earlier today. He's now 82 years old. So it says, why did you, now the person commenting there, Jack Wagner, says, why did you delete the first draft? And he did. But as you can see there, it says, of American, God damn it. You can't see the full tweet there. Okay, we'll get you the full tweet at some point. So he mentions, Ron Paul mentions cultural Marxism there. Now I wanna point out the picture in the tweet. So let's show you that. Jesus Christ, what in God's green earth is that? So this is their idea of cultural Marxism. They think that it is the communists led by caricatures, horrific caricatures of African Americans, Latinos, Asians, and Jews punching out Uncle Sam. Now, I don't know if Ron Paul meant to include that picture. He probably dropped his dog whistle. And maybe he thinks, well, you know what? I'm just gonna be honest, I'm 82 years old. I'm just gonna tell people what I really think. And then maybe his son called him and said, hey, I'm still in the Senate and I can't have you being this openly racist and bigoted and anti-Semitic while I still have a political career. Remember, I also ran for president. That's Rand Paul from Kentucky. I don't know, okay? I do know that he tweeted it and it was horrific. But what's more important is the idea behind it. Now, of course, after he got blowback, he deleted that tweet and then put up this one where he says, well, you know, did I show you what my true feelings were about those races? I meant I'm against political correctness. Now, wait a minute, what does being against political correctness mean anyway? Well, it means the same thing. These people want to help blacks and Jews and Asians politically correct. And now we can't even insult them. We can't call them the words we used to call them. God damn it, that's political correctness. I remember when we used to put them in their place. That's what Ron Paul means. And if you're unclear about that, you can go back to his deeply racist newsletter he used to put in the 1990s. Later, when running for president, it didn't look good. So he said, oh, I disavow that stuff. I didn't know it was going in my newsletter, but let me quote some of the things that were in there. Now, Ron Paul didn't write these, but it was in his newsletter. He said, they said the criminals who terrorize our cities in riots and every not and on every non-riot day are not exclusively young black males, but they largely are. So now 92, of course, after the 91 riots in LA, saying whether they're rioting or they're not rioting, crime and violence is largely African American. Let's note the irony of one group of people in this country who violently enslaved, lynched, raped, and separated families. And that was not African Americans. The African Americans were victims of that. But in their perverse, insane minds, oh, it's the African Americans who were violent against the poor, poor whites. Now, am I as stupid as them so that I blame all white people for that? Of course not. We actually believe that all human beings are equal, but they do not. And that is the point of this story. They also said in his newsletter back in the day in 92, if you have ever been robbed by a black teenage male, you know how unbelievably fleet-footed they can be. Wow, what a compliment. Thank you. Okay, that's who these guys are. Now, more importantly, they talk about cultural Marxism. Now, some of you online might have heard that term before from the right wing. Now, I have been to just about every progressive meeting that you can go to. And in all my time, in all those meetings with all the leaders of the movement, I have never once heard a left winger refer to cultural Marxism. There's in open meetings and non-open meetings, no one ever comes and goes, hey guys, when do we do the cultural Marxism? Because that's lunacy. No one actually believes that. But in the right wing, paranoia and deeply racist, bigoted, anti-Semitic, etc. By the way, if you're offended that it's racist, I'm going to explain it to you. Because you might have used the term not knowing its origin. You might have seen the term and not know its origin, but I'm going to tell you what it is. And then if afterwards you think, yeah, it's the goddamn Jews who came up with that and they're trying to control us. Okay, then at least we're clear on it, okay? So the left wing never uses it, and it's perplexing and preposterous to us. But the right wing is obsessed with it and thinks it's what's happening. So what is it? Well, Caleb Karma at Mediaite begins to explain, and then I'm going to get into much more detail. He explains, however, the term has even more nefarious meaning among many on the right who identify with the alt-right or other white supremacist movements, since cultural Marxism has instead become a racist dog whistle claiming the influx of non-white immigrants into America and in Europe is causing cultural decline. Now, let's remember what the Ron Paul tweet was. Are you stunned by what has become of American culture? Well, it's not an accident. You've probably heard cultural Marxism, but do you know what it means? Okay. Well, all right. So apparently it means that American culture is under attack by the multicultural idea of the left. Okay, let's dive in a little further. So now we go to Scott Oliver at Vice, did a terrific story on this. Now he explains one infamous example of the word cultural Marxism, and then explains the different times that it's being used in America. So let's go to that example first. On July 22nd, 2011, in downtown Oslo, the right-wing extremist Andreas Bering Breivik, who once gifted his mother a vibrator, okay, that's irrelevant, detonated a bomb outside the prime minister's office, killing 8. He then drove 25 miles to Utøya Island, where ruling Labour Party's youth rally was being held, and began an hour-long shooting spree that ended with 69 more dead, most of them teenagers. That morning, he had electronically distributed a 1,520-page tract called A European Declaration of Independence, decrying the rise of cultural Marxism / multiculturalism in the West. So others have thought this before, and it's not to say that everyone who's ever used the word cultural Marxist, especially if they didn't know where it came from, is Breivik and is a monster that murders dozens of kids. But by the way, not just Dylann Roof, but also the Parkland shooter went to alt-right sites and complained about things such as multiculturalism. So here we are. Now, let's dive a little further. Oliver explains, the trope of cultural Marxism has been steadily gaining traction among the broad and diverse entity that is the radical right. Although hating diversity would balk at you saying so. So in other words, they do hate diversity, but they say, oh, no, not us. Okay. where it serves an umbrella term variously responsible for such un-American and anti-Western ills, they think, as atheism, secularism, political correctness, there's the other word that Ron Paul used, gay rights, sexual liberation, feminism, affirmative action, liberalism, socialism, anarchism, and above all, multiculturalism. Let's just pause there, even before we get to more nefarious stuff. They're against multiculturalism. Well, if you're part of a culture that isn't white, what does that mean? So they're against your culture? They're against you overall? What are they saying? I mean, what are black people supposed to do as an example? Are they just supposed to bow their heads and go, "You're right, sir. I'm so sorry about my culture, sir. Do not include it in anything you do, sir. I'm so sorry about my multiculturalism. I will now obey the white people." Is that what they're supposed to do? I just absorb the absurdity of that. I mean, just saying you're against multiculturalism is almost by definition racist. So if I went around saying, "Well, I don't like, name it, Asian culture for some reason. I don't like Asian culture. It should not be included in our culture." How would that not be racist? That's the definition of racism. So if you're gonna cry about that being called racist, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. Now we're supposed to include other cultures. Yes, we are. It's called America. It doesn't say in the Constitution it's only for white people. And obviously we had a history in this country where we got more progressive and the Constitution got amended so black people got freedom and women got freedom and the right to vote. I guess they're opposed to that. I suppose there's supposed to be only one culture. And do you think that one culture is supposed to be black culture? Do you think that the right wing thinks that, let's just go with Latino culture? No one in their right mind thinks that. Go and ask them. They will tell you. Now, we have a certain Western culture. Come on. You think that Western culture is a combination of black, Latino, Asian, Jewish, and white? No, it is not. Where they're going with this is super obvious to anyone who isn't biased. But let's keep going. Oliver says, the ultimate goal of cultural Marxism, we're led to believe, is to slowly and stealthily dilute and subvert white Christian Western culture, thereby opening sovereign nations to rule by a one world corporate government. Yeah, the Latinos who just crossed the border without a dollar in their pocket are gonna somehow rule us all in a one world government that they manipulated. If they're so good at manipulating things, why do they have to cross the border illegally without any money at all? Why don't they just go live in their mansions? But remember, the right wing has lost its mind. They think the powerless have all the power, but don't look up above. If you look up above, all the donors, the corporate donors giving money to the politicians, no. The really rich and powerful, they couldn't possibly be the one that set the rules. No, the right-wing politicians, no, they're not the powerful. Muslims in America, some have more power. There are almost no Muslims in America. What power do they have? But if you're a lunatic and you believe this stuff and you believe conspiracy theories about cultural Marxism, that makes sense to you. Okay, so the theory goes that, quote, cultural Marxism was the master plan of a group of Jewish German academics who immigrated into this country, widely known today as the Frankfurt School of Critical Theory, who fled Nazi Germany in 1936, decamping to New York. That is where this comes from. And you will sometimes hear the phrase the Frankfurt School. That is it's not even a code word. That is a reference to the Jews who came here and spread this cultural Marxism. They barely escaped the Holocaust. There are a bunch of people in academics, but it's not the people with all the money that control things. It's not the people with all the power that control things. It's a bunch of long dead people who barely survived the Holocaust and apparently were so powerful that they brainwashed the whole country so that we can accept blacks and Latinos and Asians as well as Jews. Who would be so stupid and anti-Semitic enough to believe that? Unfortunately, a large percentage of this country. Now, by the way, there are now some Jewish Americans on the right who talk about cultural Marxism. I don't know if they're deeply ignorant, which is very likely given how stupid the people on the right wing are, and have no sense of history, or they know it and go, yeah, it started and continues to be a deeply anti-Semitic conspiracy theory. I mean, you saw the cartoon Ron Paul sent out today, not in the 1930s, today, with that Jewish caricature in it. But yet some right-wing Jewish Americans look at that, and by the way, they are a tiny, tiny percentage of Jews in America. Jewish Americans vote about 70% for the Democratic Party. Don't let anybody trick you into thinking that they are right-wing. They are not, okay? Look at the numbers, look at the facts, look at the demographics, okay? But a tiny percentage of these right-wing Jewish Americans go, yeah, cultural Marxism, yeah, the blacks, they're the ones committing the crimes. We gotta keep the Muslims out. The Muslims are bad. It's okay to discriminate against a religion as long as it's not mine. Anybody who used that term from any background, at least understand where it comes from. And then if you're super comfortable with this anti-Semitic beginnings, okay, at least we know where you stand. And by the way, I keep saying beginnings. It's not the beginning. It was the beginning, the middle, and the end. It's still here today. It's still in the cartoons. It's still in all of their ideology. But nonetheless, monsters like Andrew Breitbart, who have now passed away, and then obviously his website continues, picked up this baton here in America. In the 1990s, it began with Lyndon LaRouche, and then Pat Buchanan kept talking about Western culture, and then we have to protect Western culture. I interviewed Pat Buchanan on MSNBC. I asked him about how the Republicans ran the Southern strategy, which was to get white voters in America who did not want the Civil Rights Act, who did not want African Americans to have the same rights, not more rights, the same rights. And I said, well, it looks like time's running out for you. Well, it turns out they had at least one more presidency in them. But at the time, Buchanan said to me, we had a good 40-year run. Not even hiding it. So now, back to Oliver. Arguably, the biggest boost for the conspiracy came from its liberal use at Tea Party rallies, where it was fastened on to by Andrew Breitbart, soon to be making cultural waves with his eponymous news aggregation website, focused initially on the ills of big government, big Hollywood, and big journalism, the dark troika of American society's takeover by cultural Marxism. So now, when you see the right wing talking about big government, most of them have no idea about this, the background of cultural Marxism, etc. They've just been brainwashed into big government is bad. Then if you ask them, hey, how about big government that gets us into giant wars that waste all that money? They're like, no, the military's awesome. We should give everything to defense contractors. So they actually have no idea what they're talking about. They're in favor of big government when it comes to the issues of reproductive rights. Oh, controlling women's bodies. Oh, I love big government. I love it. But they've been taught big government is bad. Why? Look at what Breitbart did. Big government, big journalism, enemy of the state, enemy of the people, as Trump calls them. Big Hollywood, liberal Hollywood. These are all part of a plot by three Jewish professors from decades ago. It's so embarrassing. It's so deeply bigoted, and the list goes on. So Oliver, a final quote says, for Breivik, Breitbart, and others, multiculturalism is a strategic goal en route to the aforementioned globalist superstate. Erode the foundations of the nation and the culture of its people, and hocus pocus, you have monolithic, monocultural, yet somehow also still multicultural corporate rule. Man, that is mind bending. So they think somehow a couple of professors from all that time ago now control all the corporations of the world. How they're doing that posthumously, I have no idea. But remember, it's the Jews, everybody. They're the ones who started this. And somehow all these things have gotten control of the corporations, and then they rule us, but not for profit. Get a load of how monstrously stupid that is. Corporations must maximize profit, but no. That's not the problem. The problem is three Jewish professors from 1936. Hey, I have low wages. It's not because a corporation maximizes profit by giving me less of the money and keeping most of the money for shareholders and mainly executives. No. That's not it. That's too obvious an explanation. The answer is, all the corporations in the world got together and they're like, what should we do? Oh, let's do that cultural Marxism plan they had from 1936. The corporations are part of the Marxist plan? How stupid do you have to be to believe that? Now, if you never heard any of this and you just heard cultural Marxists and you don't like political correctness because somebody told a joke and then people got mad at the joke and you like jokes, that's a different story. That's why I'm telling you the reality of it now. But don't go around saying that stuff, because it has this connotation that is really, really ugly. And the point is to split us apart. So now, if they don't want this mythical corporate global rule of Marxists, I can't stand every time I say it. It's unbelievable how irrational that is. Okay, they don't want that. So what do they want? Well, now we go to last one, David Neuwirth from Vice, and he explains. Well, there's two things that they are in favor of: white nationalism or white supremacy, depending on which camp you're in, alt-right, alt-light, etc. So, and he explains, there is, quote, little substantive difference as that between white nationalists, who are mainly concerned with establishing an all-white ethnostate, and white supremacists, who focus on establishing the superiority of whites and the inferiority of everyone else.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
But cultural Marxism is the problem. No, the problem is some percentage of the right wing believe in insane conspiracy theories, but it is to the service of their inclinations of racism, bigotry, and anti-Semitism. You could, like, the minute you mention those words, people cry to no end, right? Oh, no, no, you guys are playing identity politics. They want to set up a white ethnostate. We're not playing identity politics. Literally, their playbook is identity politics. We're saying something very simple, very American. We should all be together and be equal. And somehow that's revolutionary. I mean, it is, because we did a revolution for it back in 1776. And that was a wonderful revolution. And we said that all people have to be treated equal. And we started to live up better and better to that ideal. They say, no, I don't want your multiculturalism. I rule, and you either obey me or you get out. And they say, but don't call me racist. Well, I got bad news for you. If you use words like cultural Marxism and you send cartoons like Ron Paul did with deeply offensive caricatures of other races and religions, yes, you are racist and bigoted and anti-Semitic. I'm not the one pushing all these ideas. The right wing is. So if you get upset at me for calling out what the right wing is clearly doing, that is definitely your problem. And from now on, at least understand what you're doing. So if you're in that camp, this is what you're signing up for. And if you're comfortable with it, at least we have an understanding. If you're not, stop believing in these insane theories that are meant to divide us. All right, now, an equally important story, but about the politics of the moment with Donald Trump. Let's go to that. Now, Donald Trump has a lot of trouble, but it is possible that the biggest trouble of all is going to stem from a guy named Elliot Broidy. Now, I want to show you what he looks like, who he is, and what he's been up to. Okay, so this is Elliot Broidy, and he raised a lot of money for Donald Trump. We're going to get to that in 1 second. And this is obviously Donald Trump, and we're going to tell you their connection. In fact, let's begin by quoting Newsweek here, Greg Price writing. After pleading guilty in a pay-to-play scandal 9 years ago, Broidy reemerged as a major fundraiser for Trump during the 2016 election. The former top Republican National Committee finance chair was the national vice chairman to the Trump Victory Campaign. The Victory Campaign raised more than $108.4 million during the 2016 election cycle, of which $13.5 million went to Trump's campaign. Broidy held the same position for Trump's presidential inaugural committee. Now, before I review those numbers of how much money he funneled to Trump, if you notice there, there was something interesting that is going to be very important to this story. After pleading guilty to a pay-to-play scandal, well, let's go to the Washington Post and understand a little bit more about that, because today there's news about Broidy and how he's going to stop paying a mistress. It's somebody's mistress. We're going to try to figure out that mystery in this video as well. So, but he's done this before, so let's go to the Post. In 2009, Broidy pled guilty to a felony charge of rewarding official misconduct. He stayed out of jail by testifying against his co-conspirators. He gave $1 million in illegal gifts to New York State officials, and the state invested $250 million with his investment firm. One of the interesting details was that as part of the gifts, Broidy paid $90,000 to the mistress of one of the New York officials. So let's review that. Earlier, he pled guilty to bribing a state official, gives him $1 million, gets in return a giant contract of $250 million. He makes a profit of $18 million off that contract, which in finally when they caught him, he had to pay back to the government. And in there for good measure is paying off a mistress of a politician. All right, so to review the first set of facts, money to Trump from Broidy. Now, this is not just Broidy raising it. As we told you, it's the Victory Campaign, but he was an integral part of it. $13.5 million to Donald Trump and $108.4 million to the GOP. Now, the scandal that Broidy's involved in today is with former Playboy model named Shara Bouchard. Now, Broidy claims and volunteered that he had an affair with Shara Bouchard and wanted to cover it up. And in fact, in order to cover it up, he gave her $1.6 million. Now, he stopped payments on those today. That is going to be monumentally important to this story, but I wanted you to understand that. Now, this was after Michael Cohen's offices got raided. Now, what's Michael Cohen's role in this story? I'm going to get to that. But after Michael Cohen's offices get raided and the government gets 4 million documents out of there, Broidy raises his hand, goes, yep, it was me. I'm the one who had the affair with Bouchard. It's a curious thing to admit if you're a major Republican fundraiser and a businessman to volunteer that. All right, well, let's find out more about this story, see if that makes sense. Well, there's a guy named Keith Davidson next. Now, who is he? He's a lawyer. Now, this is interesting. Who was he a lawyer for? Well, he was a lawyer for Shara Bouchard. Stephanie Clifford, you might know her as Stormy Daniels, and Karen McDougal. He represented all of them. Well, every single one of those women made a deal with the help of Keith Davidson with another lawyer. Let's take a look at who that is. Oh, that's Michael Cohen. That's interesting. So all three who are in the adult film industry have affairs. They all get paid to cover them up. All of their attorneys are Keith Davidson, and the attorney on the other side that's actually giving them the money is Michael Cohen. Very interesting. Okay, now let me remind you that two of the people that gave that money were for affairs with Donald Trump. One was, of course, Stephanie Clifford, or Stormy Daniels, as she's publicly known, and the other one was Karen McDougal. Now, McDougal got a payment of $150,000 from American Media Incorporated, which owns National Enquirer. That's an ally of Donald Trump. So that was not a settlement. It was money where she thought the National Enquirer was going to print the story, but it turns out no, they buried the story to help their longtime ally of Donald Trump. So, but she also used the same lawyer. Now, those two had, they say, affairs with Donald Trump. I believe there is excellent evidence to indicate that, in fact, they did have an affair with Donald Trump, or Donald Trump had an affair with them. But Breshard, they say, no, even though that fits the same pattern, somehow Keith Davidson not only dealt with Michael Cohen for Donald Trump, but also said, hey, Michael, do you happen to know David Broidy? Because I got somebody else who had an affair and wanted to get a payoff. Elliot Broidy. And he's like, well, lucky for you, I do. So they say that Sarah Breshard's settlement came from Broidy. Now, I should note that Breshard had an abortion. A very long affair and then an abortion. Now, Broidy says, no. The payment had nothing to do with the abortion. Now, let me note, Stormy Daniels, $130,000. Karen McDougal, $150,000. So those are similar numbers. They had an affair with Donald Trump and they get that amount of payment. Breshard has an affair with someone where the revelation of that affair would be a lot less important or interesting. Gets $1.6 million. Obviously, more than 10 times what the others got. And there's an abortion. But they say, no. We weren't paying for the abortion. And it was Broidy. It was not Trump. And the abortion, golly gee, I mean, I guess she had it, but I didn't ask her to have it, nor was the payment because of the abortion. Okay, that's what they say. Now, here's an interesting part. Stormy Daniels and Breshard do their settlement, because remember, McDougal did not do a settlement, she got paid by the media company. They do a settlement, and in the settlement, it appears that they are doing the settlement with the same person under a pseudonym. The pseudonym is David Dennison. Remember though, Stormy Daniels had the affair with Trump, and so did McDougal, but they say Breshard did not have the affair with Trump. She had it with Broidy, but in the paperwork, it appears to be the same person. Now, if you were a savvy lawyer, and it was in fact two different people, why would you use the same pseudonym? That would be negligent to say the least. I mean, you're implicating in one of them in a thing that they apparently did not do according to you guys. Well, that's according to you guys for now, because report out today from the Wall Street Journal. Elliot Broidy, a Los Angeles venture capitalist and former Republican National Committee official, agreed to pay former Playboy centerfold Sarah Breshard $1.6 million in 8 installments beginning late last year. By the way, let's note, late last year when Donald Trump is president. Not during the campaign, not earlier, while Trump is president. Now you might say, hey, that's Broidy and Breshard, it has nothing to do with Trump. Okay, if you say so. Now, they paid that to keep quiet about her affair with the married donor, the Wall Street Journal reported in April. Okay, now, the news today is that Mr. Broidy, who worked on the RNC with Mr. Cohen, oh right, they worked at the same position at the Republican National Committee, Broidy and Cohen did, will withhold the third installment of the $200,000 that was due on Sunday in response to an alleged breach of the non-disclosure agreement, according to Chris Clark, a lawyer for Mr. Broidy. They stopped paying her. Uh-oh. Now, she appears to not have any more incentive to not tell us about what actually happened in that affair and who it was actually with. And maybe she'll come out and say, oh yeah, it was Broidy. And you know, I had the abortion having nothing to do with Broidy. He happened to pay me $1.6 million and unrelated to that, I had the abortion. Or she can tell us what really happened with the abortion and who she actually had the affair with. Now, you can speculate, and I certainly have my thoughts and theories on that. I think it's not complicated to figure out where I stand on this. So now, somebody could raise money to make sure that she is properly compensated if this is very important, she's telling the truth. I know a show that's good at raising money for important causes. Stay tuned. Because if it's money that she needs to make sure that she's not in violation of that contract or can pay it off if she is in violation, to tell the real story so we can find out what that affair was actually about, money can be raised. And then coincidentally, or perhaps not, today, Michael Cohen gave an interview to ABC News and said on Twitter, "Silence is broken." So his silence is broken. He has important things to say. When asked if he was loyal to Donald Trump, he importantly said, "My wife, my daughter, and my son have my first loyalty and always will. I put family and country first." To which I say, tick, 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 tick. So, Michael Cohen clearly has the relevant information. So does Sarah Bouchard. One way or another, we're going to get to find out the real story. And my guess is it is going to be devastating and perhaps a big enough story to change the course of this administration. Stay tuned. Young Turks, we'll be right back. Thanks for listening to this podcast. You're only halfway through, so hold, stay right here. Just want to remind you, if you want to get all 5 segments of the Young Turks commercial free, these are just 2 of them. Every day we do it. So go to tytnetwork.com/join and you'll get the whole 5 segments, 2 hours, ad free. Do it now. All right, back on Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Word Bern Steinem writes in on Twitter using hashtag TYTLive. These new behind the scenes commercials are good, thank you. If you're watching this show and not seeing those, you might be getting it on a different platform. We always have the show live on tyt.com/live at 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Admiral Marston says, Anna nailed the pronunciation of that name.
Thank you.
Speaking of pronunciations, I will now butcher a bunch of them because Trey Beatty says, wife is in Guanajuato and says the populist left feeling is for real. Trump's relationship with Obrador will be muy interesante.
Yes.
By the way, good news, bad news today for Mexico. Man, that was the best game ever played to lose 2-0. Okay, Mexico played wonderful and valiant. And so don't let that score deceive you. By the way, I'm going to talk about that in the post game. Because not about the game, but about the crowd that I watched it with. Because it was really interesting about how America in some circles feels about Mexico.
Oh.
Okay. So post games just for the members. It's now again only for members. So tyt.com/join to join us on that. Real quick, I want to thank Quantum Event on YouTube Super Chat. Didn't leave a comment, but you can leave basically donations for us through YouTube Super Chat, and super appreciate that you did. And Kunal Patel also on YouTube Super Chat says, I have a prediction, Trump will never really go after Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or give her a bad nickname because she's young and attractive. So that's certainly possible. On the first day, he was incredibly complimentary in a bizarre way.
Said she had a lot of energy.
Yeah. Very high energy woman. Oh yeah, please stop.
Gross. Okay,
right. Okay. Exactly. All right, let's do the next story.
All right. Over the weekend, there were several protests against Donald Trump's zero tolerance policy throughout the country. And there was one specific protest in Huntsville, Alabama. So this was a smaller turnout than what we saw in, let's say, Los Angeles. But still, it was good to see people speaking out in a conservative state like Alabama. Unfortunately, there was one person who decided to show up and not only heckle people as they were engaging in prayer during this protest, but also threaten them with a firearm. So it's 34-year-old Shane Ryan Seeley. And in the video that you're about to watch, you'll notice the very beginning of what unfortunately ended up being an incredibly violent confrontation with this man. Take a look.
An Army veteran, ordained minister, founder of Huntsville International Help Center, Inc., and has been an advocate for the Hispanic community for over 10 years. They are going to talk to, they are going to provide a convocation and a prayer for all of us. Thank you. Let us pray. Holy and ever-loving God, we pray for the children of this nation and all nations. We offer.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
So the person that you heard saying womp womp and ice ice baby was Shane Ryan Seeley. And it didn't end there. At one point, he got into a confrontation with someone and he essentially pulled out his gun. And protesters were terrified because they were worried that he would actually open fire and hurt people. Let's go to graphic 10A. Protesters urged everyone to drop to the ground and be careful. There was a lot of concern that he would actually kill people. And so he did get arrested. But for anyone who might not know where the womp womp comes from, it was inspired by Corey Lewandowski, who was on Fox News one day and had the exact same reaction to someone who was talking about a disabled immigrant girl who was being separated from her mother. I want to just quickly toss to that video. Let's take a look.
A 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage.
So the fish rots from the head down. I mean, the leadership in this country, people who are involved in the Trump administration, who were involved in his campaign, are essentially setting the tone. And now you have these armed, unhinged people showing up to a peaceful protest and threatening people with gun violence. So
yeah. So let's break this down. First of all, how do you like the party that claims that they care about religion interrupting a prayer by going around going womp womp? Second of all, let's try to figure out which party in this country is the decent one that cares about civility and which one is not. A 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome, womp womp. By the way, we're pro-life, sure you are. And hey, let's give a prayer for kids, womp womp. And by the way, I have a gun. I can't tell who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in the country. Can you guys tell? And I'm, you know, part of the problem with this story is that most decent people look at that and they're horrified and, mm-hmm. and they feel bad for the people who thought maybe here's another lunatic right winger about to murder us all. And yes, I said right winger because most of the shooters are. So in Parkland, the guy had been going to alt-right websites and then he did a massacre of those school kids. Okay, obviously South Carolina, they go into a church, massacre. In the middle of the country, going to blow up an apartment building with people who came from Somalia in it, right winger. And the list
goes
on.
Trying to blow up Planned Parenthood clinics, shooting up doctors in Planned Parenthood. I mean, there's a long history of this kind of violence.
Yeah, killing two police officers in Vegas, leaving the Gadsden flag on them. Right winger, right winger, right winger, right winger. Why? They believe in violence.
So we need to be civil. On the left, we need to be civil. We can't speak out. We can't, you know, ever harass someone from the Trump administration while they're enjoying a nice Mexican meal out on the town.
Don't hurt their feelings. They're very sensitive. So now, but the reason I said it's unfortunate is that a lot of the, so for decent people, like, oh, that's terrible. For right wingers, a lot of people will see that video and will see the pictures and go, oh, yeah, I could just show it with a gun somewhere and point it at people and then they'll have to get down. You think it won't happen? You think that, look in the comments below, okay? If you're watching this on YouTube, I guarantee you, even before I said it, they had already written it. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so to them, that doesn't look like a problem. For a lot of the right-wing trolls, they think like, oh, could I troll people in real life and then pull a gun on them? Well, that'll make me feel powerful. And of course, as we've seen now, unfortunately, in one massacre after another, sometimes they pull the gun and use it. So this is the insanity we live in. And Huntsville, Alabama, look, I'll tell you guys an interesting story in the postgame about how I almost got a job in Huntsville replacing Sean Hannity back when I was a conservative.
That sounds terrible. Wow.
Yes. So tyt.com/join to become a member, and then you get the whole 2-hour show without commercials, plus the postgame and all the other shows that we do. But I'll tell you about that. And they, to be fair to them, they sniffed me out at the time when I thought I was a conservative. They're like, this guy is a liberal. So I'll explain the whole story.
Can we agree that the phrase sniffed me out is just a weird thing to say?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Super weird.
Anyway.
So look, there has to be a consequence. I'm glad they arrested this guy.
They also took away his license to carry.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's great. I think this is a very, very serious crime. And I think I hope he gets a lengthy prison sentence. Otherwise, it's going to encourage. And by the way, even if you don't believe us and you think, oh no, left wing is just as violent. Well, then it'll encourage left wingers too. It'll encourage everyone to bring their guns and take it out in the middle of prayers, large get-togethers, and go, hey, there's no consequences, so let's all just start pointing guns at one another. So he should get a very hefty prison sentence.
Yeah, and by the way, he's an English teacher. I personally wouldn't feel comfortable having someone like that teach my kids, but I mean, it's really up
that
to-
That maniac is a teacher in a school with kids in it?
Yeah, English teacher.
Jesus.
Okay, moving on. Back in 2017, the Trump administration announced a new group within the federal government that would help provide resources to those who have been victimized by these dangerous criminals in the United States, specifically undocumented criminals. It's known as the Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement, also known as VOICE. And now we have some numbers indicating how many people have called looking for help because they've been victimized by illegal immigrants. Well, it's turned out to be a complete and utter disaster for the Trump administration. They wouldn't tell you that, but we have the numbers that I want to go into right now. So the high demand that the Trump administration anticipated for additional resources for victims of crimes committed by undocumented immigrants hasn't materialized, nor has the office recorded any evidence of the widespread victimization of criminal aliens. By criminal aliens, as Trump's executive order mandates. So they have all these calls, and less than 50% have anything to do with immigration at all, and even less have anything to do with what that hotline was created in the first place for. So since April of last year, 6 operators sitting at a call center in Laguna Niguel, California, have fielded calls for 12 hours a day. One caller asked to make a reservation at a Trump hotel. Another caller wanted to report a coyote who stole his cat.
Well, was the coyote documented or not?
I don't know. I mean, we need to see the papers. Dozens of callers reported space aliens, some going into details of what dates they were abducted by UFOs. Hundreds called to denounce ex-spouses, neighbors, and business rivals whom they suspected of being in the country illegally. Okay, so those are just examples of ridiculous calls.
Yeah, I know. Before you get to more substance, let's just pause there. Like, you open up a hotline for right-wingers. Buckle up and brace for impact.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh man, the UFOs got me, and then they did this probe and that probe and the coyote, and besides which, I hate my ex-wife. Can you guys lock her up?
Look, to be fair, I'm sure they got a ton of prank calls from people who do not identify as right-wingers, right? Like the alien calls.
No, Anna. Look, unfortunately, having studied the right wing a little bit online, a shocking percentage of them have mental health issues.
They did get a lot of calls about lizard people.
Of course they did.
I made that up. I don't know if they got calls.
No, I would be shocked if they didn't, okay? And look, some of them are definitely pranks, okay? And I bet you an unhealthy percentage of those are actual right-wingers who believe in insane conspiracy theories.
Okay, not far-fetched, but let's look at the bigger picture, okay? So of the 4,602 calls received between April 26th and September 30th last year, more than half, 2,515 calls, were classified as unrelated or commentary.
It's totally right-wingers,
it's
come
amazing.
On. Some commentary.
Some 244 callers requested victim services, though the report notes that only 127 ultimately wanted social service referrals. Another 254 asked about the status of a case. So look, there have already been studies that look into crime and whether or not it has caught undocumented immigrants or an influx of immigration led to increased crimes in certain parts of the country. Those studies indicate that no, it has not increased crime. In fact, crime continues to drop. And if you look at specific communities where undocumented immigrants usually live, crime is much less, is less likely to happen because they're so terrified of getting deported. They don't want to draw attention to themselves. And they're not criminals. They're not criminals. That's what the right wing wants you to think. They want you to focus on the powerless so you're not paying attention to them while they're robbing you. That's what's really going on with the Trump administration. Homeboy's using, you know, his status and his power to benefit himself and his own businesses, right? He's making the wealthiest people in the country even more wealthy. And we're all focusing on people who have absolutely no rights and no power in the country. It's amazing.
So let's just review. 4,602 calls, 127 cases that were actually referred to social services. That is a minuscule percentage. So it's unsurprising when you set up an Orwellian dystopian agency where it's called Voice, Victims of Immigration Crime Engagement. And it's Orwellian because, as Anna pointed out, it's the opposite of what's true. And for those of you that go, oh, yeah, see, they're afraid of getting deported. That's why they're committing less crime. That was a Bush one. No, those stats about how they commit far less crime than citizens are from before Trump.
Yep.
So it has absolutely nothing to do with Trump. About on average, people who are immigrants to the country commit 50% less crimes, including undocumented immigrants, than normal American citizens. So if you want to get rid of the crime, deport yourself.
Actually, I mean, undocumented immigrants are more likely to be victims of crime because they don't have the ability to just go to law enforcement, or at least they're too afraid to go to law enforcement and report those crimes. And so, you know, they might get paid way less than they're supposed to get paid if they are working. There have been multiple cases of women who have been victimized by domestic violence. They feel like they can't go to the cops and report it. There have been cases of rape where women cannot report it. So these are things that you should keep in mind as we continue to pick on the powerless people in the country.
You know what they would say to that? Womp womp.
Yeah, they would say that. I mean, Ann Coulter said that when I brought up the issue of Border Patrol agents sexually assaulting and raping minors that were attempting to come into the country. She's like, well, it wouldn't happen if there was a wall. You know, she's a hag, so whatever. She is. She's a disgusting person. So moving on.
Totally agree.
Let's okay, move on. Yeah. I know, it was just like super quiet, so I'm like, okay, did I say something wrong?
No.
All right.
You said it right, so I didn't have anything to add.
So let's talk about Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters was speaking at a protest in Los Angeles over the weekend. This is the protest against Donald Trump's zero tolerance policy. And her speech was powerful because she specifically spoke out against and address the people who have been threatening her ever since she called for people to harass Trump administrators who are out having lovely dinners. And so I love what she had to say. I think it was a pretty strong statement. Take a look.
I know that there are those who are talking about censoring me, talking about kicking me out of Congress, talking about shooting me, talking about hanging me. All I have to say is this. If you shoot me, you better shoot straight. There's nothing like a wounded animal.
Damn. Okay, so that's, we say TYT is too strong. That was a little too strong, because I'm now a little bit worried about our safety, because the guys on the other side are lunatics. Mm-hmm. So I hope you don't shoot straight. I hope you're on a wobbly chair. Look at what that means in relationship to FDR.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, what frustrates me the most in the age of Trump is the utter weakness that we keep seeing from those on the left. And mind you, Maxine Waters is dealing with serious threats. I mean, people have been attacking her. She had to cancel two different events because of the threats that she's been dealing with. Because, by the way, Trump lied about her. She essentially said, look, I mean, no, don't be civil. These people are coming after us. They're victimizing people. Don't be civil. Let me read you her exact quote. She basically said, I don't have the quote in front of me, sorry. But she's just saying, like, no, don't be civil. But she didn't say go out there and commit acts of violence. She didn't say put your hands on anyone. She didn't say assault anyone. She essentially said protest, because that's what you should do as an American. And so Trump goes on Twitter and completely lies about what she says, which is why there's so much violence and so many threats directed toward her. He wrote on Twitter, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, an extraordinarily low IQ person. Gee, I wonder why he said low IQ person, has become together with Nancy Pelosi, the face of the Democrat Party. She has just called for harm to supporters. Okay, let's stop right there. She did not call for harm towards supporters. She didn't attack voters. She specifically said to protest Trump administration officials, to protest them, not to touch them. And by the way, I find it fascinating that he included Nancy Pelosi in that tweet, because Nancy Pelosi turned around and condemned Maxine Waters for encouraging people to speak out, because she's weak. That's what Nancy Pelosi is. She's weak.
So look, Maxine Waters, you could argue that what she said was not the right thing to do, to confront people in public. And, you know, whether it's to chant, protest, or even yell at them. And that's a very fair point to make. It's not fair to say that she said it about supporters and not administration officials. That's a lie. And it's not fair to say that she called for violence, because she didn't.
Okay, that's right.
He said to harm them. She never said harm them.
I have her quote. I want to read you her exact quote right now. She said, if you see anybody from the cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd and you push back on them and you tell them they're not welcome anymore anywhere.
Now, the thing that they hang their hat on is you push back on them. But she says in that sentence, you tell them that they're not welcome anywhere. You tell them that they're not welcome anywhere.
Okay, yeah. The people who are angry at what Maxine Waters said are the same people who supported a president who said he wanted to punch someone in the face. Okay,
and no,
so
not just he
I'm
wanted
done.
To.
I'm done with you. I'm done with these ridiculous double standards.
So he literally said, you guys should punch them in the face and I'll pay your legal bills. So you can't say, oh, Maxine Waters saying you should protest administration officials in public is outrageous. But when Trump says, let's punch protesters in the face, that's awesome. Well, you can say it, but it just means that you're stupid and don't care about logic. All right, one last thing. I'm going to spare you looking it up. In the post game today, and that's what we, a whole other show we do after the Young Turks for our members, I will tell you about how someone came to harm Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but a wobbly chair saved the whole country. So tyt.com/join to become a member, get those post games. We got a lot for you guys today on that.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for watching what I hope was a lovely edition of the Young Turks. Now, you know that that is two of the five segments that we do because that's free. We want to have you support independent media and come watch the whole show that we do every day. That's five segments overall, no ads at all. That's at tytnetwork.com/join. Come become a member. Thanks for watching either way. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/tyt. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.